Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Geico presents yet another voicemail from your roommate.
Hi! So, about the kitchen. Turns out, when there's a grease fire, you're not supposed to throw water on it. Who would have known, right? Anyways, the fire department is here, and it's totally cool. Give me a call back when you get a chance.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if danger is your roommate's middle name. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to The Prototype, only on ThisWeekInGeek.net. I am one of your two hosts this week. I am Mike the Birdman Thaw, but I'm not alone. I'm joined with
Alex.
And The Prototype is the monthly show we do here on Twig, where we talk about the video game industry, the good, the bad, the ugly. Sometimes we'll have a couple of reviews snuck in or some other little tidbits for you. But in this show, we're going to be talking about, well, kind of catching you up what's been going on with us as to why we didn't have a show in November. And kind of catching you up on the Video Game Awards, which just recently aired across YouTube, Twitch, and many other platforms last night. So hopefully you've had a chance to check those out, as there were some surprises, some not-so-surprises, but overall it was a pretty good show. But you may be
wondering... Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to Nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wondering, Mike, where was the show for October and November? We actually got swamped in reviews. As you guys know, Broketober tends to be a lot of video games tend to come out. So we had Call of Duty Black Ops. We had Red Dead Redemption. I got Shadow of the Tomb Raider towards the end of September. And Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which is a ridiculously huge game. And then we just got a lot of videos and
not to
movies.
Mention, I got like...
And sickness and death.
Yeah, I got like 20 games to review at once because of the post... We had a postal strike for basically a month. And that meant things were trickling in unless they were coming in through...
Digital?
Through digital or through like FedEx, UPS, or Purolator. We weren't getting basically anything.
Yeah, things were backed up.
So I got to a point where I received probably 4 or 5 packages... all last week that were dated from October with multiple review copies of things in there. And I'm going, I should get on that now.
That's fun.
So basically, like, to get everybody up to date on what I'm doing currently gaming-wise, because I got a lot of movies and other stuff on the go as well, I've got about 4 or 5 racing games that I want to put together as a Turtle Treasure package, sort of reviewing what's currently out there in the variety of types of racing games that there are. And then... Right now, I'm also working on Just Cause 4 for Square Enix.
Mm-hmm.
And what about you, Mike?
Currently, I've been playing from Warner Brothers Games. This will be my review in a nutshell for Hitman 2, which came out in November. It had an unfortunate release to come out during, I want to say, the same week or the same release window as Fallout 76, the gift that keeps on giving. Also, Battlefield 5. And it basically, I want to say Hitman flew under the radar, and it really shouldn't have. Hitman 2 built upon the successes that the first game built upon. Fantastic enemy AI, great stealth action. But instead of this game coming out episodically, you got everything at once.
Oh, wow.
And you can also download the previous missions into it. Haven't had a chance to fool around with that yet, but when I downloaded my copy, it's like... Do you wish to download this other stuff? Why, yes, I do. So it picks up after the second, or after the first game, rather, and it gives you a brief, like, minute and a half recap of what's going on. You're working for this agency who wants to get rid of someone named the Shadow Client, something called Providence. Basically, it's all in the first 30 seconds of the game, so I'm not spoiling anything for you. But Agent 47 is, of course, an incredible badass. My favorite tool of the trade is the screwdriver, which I can throw into people's faces. Or the wrench.
Oh, my.
Or the garrote. I don't like using guns if I don't have to.
Well, isn't that the point? You're not really supposed to be using
guns. Yeah, you're supposed to be a stealth assassin and pick up disguises and things. One of my favorite tricks is to dress up as a mascot and strangle people.
Okay. Now, for me, I'm somebody who hasn't played since the original Codename 47, like in the era of that and Max Payne, you know, that sort of era of PC games. Now, is this a good jumping on point for somebody like myself?
Yes, simply because Hitman 2 does recap the new story for you at the beginning of the game, where it says, an Agent 47 doesn't know his past, but his childhood friend does and remembers everything. So, ooh.
oh, cool.
But it's just, it's an incredibly well-thought-out world. If I had to give Hitman 2 anything, its enemy AI is incredibly smart. It's more dogged than it was before. Like, it will hunt you. It's less stupid, although it's still fun to bottleneck bad guys in the hallways with guns if you do happen to get into a firefight. They'll just line up and get shot. but usually they'll peg you more than once, and that it doesn't take much to kill Agent 47. So, but no, it's a fantastically well done game. I just think it had the unfortunate part of it was its release timing. It
sort of came lost in the shuffle. I don't remember seeing a lot of ads for it. I remember seeing a lot of initial press for it earlier, and then I think it got lost in that shuffle.
Well,
like
yeah, because if it had come out in September, it would have had to compete against Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Spider-Man, and it would have been lost. If it came out in October, it would have had to compete against Black Ops, Red Dead Redemption 2. When it came out in November, it had to compete against Fallout and Battlefield.
So
when are you going to put this out?
So it's basically, it's one of those really good games that just flew under the radar and probably will pick up due to word of mouth.
Yeah, I think it's really, 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 really going to pick up, especially because, like I said, you don't have to wait for the episodes to come out. It's just, it's all there. They brought back Elusive Contracts. You can kill Sean Bean if you so want to. So you can go kill Ned Stark.
Is he actually Sean Bean?
Yeah, yeah.
So Sean Bean, actor, is like, that's who he's playing?
It's not as ridiculous as in the first game. You could kill Gary Busey.
That would have been fun.
He was one of the elusive targets.
That would have been very fun. Did he laugh?
I didn't get to that mission because I missed it. It was so sad. But yeah, Hitman 2 ultimately probably going to be one of my picks for underappreciated gem. And it wouldn't surprise me if you find this game cheap come Boxing Day or before the end of the year. But regardless, you should probably pick it up.
Nice.
The other thing that I've been working on is another project that we work on. It's a podcast called Terrible Warriors, which is a role-play podcast. Now, we've been given our own feed called the Cambridge Chronicles, named after a very large city that happens to be near us called Cambridge. I got this game from our Talsorian Games, and I had to really think about that because I'm still not sure whether I'm getting the pronunciation right.
Just say RT Games.
So RT Games, Talsorian Games gave us The Witcher, and that's based upon the series of novels, the upcoming Netflix series with Henry Cavill, and obviously the award-winning video games, The Witcher, The Witcher 2, The Assassin of Kings, I think it was called, and The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. And in terms of licensed RPGs, this is probably one of the best, simply because it takes everything from the video games like Mutations, Sword Oils, the magic, race is a very big thing in this world, and puts it into one RPG book. There's only the one right now. I imagine there'll be more supplements as time goes on. And it really builds the Witcher world out. However, though, that being said, the dice system is incredibly easy to learn. I think you only need a D10 and a D6, I want to say. I don't have my book right in front of me, but you only need two sets of dice. It's a difficulty check balance system, were basically, here, roll higher than X. Okay, no problem. It's all good. There's a lot of math to crunch. I described this on Twitter as simple yet crunchy. So if you're into old school D&D type stuff, you'll appreciate math.
So basically easy to get started, but...
You'll need to have your book with you to figure out, am I doing more damage against this monster because I've got a meteor sword? Am I doing more damage against a human because I have iron or steel or whatever? Yeah, it makes sense. And combat in this game, you better think out your fights. Because unlike D&D, where, hey, we're going to go march into this dungeon and kill a bunch of carrion crawlers, monsters in The Witcher are deadly. Because that's what Witchers do. Witchers are they're born and bred for combat, born and bred to kill monsters. Right? So let's say you're party of a bard, a thief, and a merchant. For some reason, you're traveling with a salesman. Decide to go across the Northern Kingdoms. And you decide to, hey, let's go fight that ghoul. Well, Alex, I can tell you how that fight's probably going to end. And not well for you. You better have a witcher in your party. However, that being said, your witcher may not necessarily be the person who's most sharp of tongue, because they have dull emotions and everything. So it captures the game world really well. You get stats for all the major characters. Obviously, Geralt being the most important NPC of the game, but they also have like Triss, I think her name was. Now that's something else I want to admit. I'm not terribly familiar with the Witcher world. And that, if this game has a problem, it's the same problem that many licensed RPGs fall into. Unless you buy into that world wholesale, like for Star Wars, if I say, hey Alex, you know who Darth Vader is, you know who Emperor Palpatine is, you know the major players.
Yeah.
But with The Witcher, unless you know who Geralt is and his traveling buddies, or at least the people he's super familiar with, there's a lot of lore that's going to get lost on new players. So if your players and your GM are heavy Witcher fans, this is the game for you. In terms of licensed RPGs, I really like it. In terms of introducing a new group to this, I don't know how I could do this for you unless I'm like, okay, guys, we're going to watch some videos on YouTube, and I'd like you to play through the first game. That's a lot to ask of a new player group, but that could be said for almost anything, for example. I'm trying to think of other examples.
So basically, it's one of those cases where you can get into it if you're starting from scratch, but you're going to get a lot more out of it, and it's going to be a lot easier if you're a fan.
Yeah, exactly. It requires a lot of buy-in, because I think in my ideal world, if I ran The Witcher, I would like you to have played to completion one of the games
so
I can set the game when I want. And the game's RPG timeline sets it after the events of The Witcher 2, but before Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
So basically, like I would say if you're a newbie, you know, play Wild Hunt or at least watch the
catch-up videos.
Catch-up videos on the first two, and there's plenty of those out there.
Yeah,
or read one of the novels, because I know that they're extremely popular as well.
Yeah, and the game actually, the Game Master's Guide gives you information on if you want to run the game during X, here's what you can do. If you want to run the game during X, there's also one thing I love about this game. It's a life path creation system.
Okay.
So it's like, here, roll randomly. What happened to your family? What happened to your mom, dad, lovers? And you can build this complex history just through dice rolling. And
so you can completely randomize your character.
Oh, yeah, even down to your clothes.
Nice.
And that's something I want to say they have in common with the cyberpunk system.
It sounds like it's sort of like an evolution of that.
Yeah, like this game, it's familiar yet different. I do like it. It's, like I said, it's incredibly deadly. It's not hard to die in this game, but
there's plenty of easy games out there.
If you're willing to take the time to learn this, if you're willing to take the time to learn the lore, and you have the right game master, I could see this dark adult fantasy being something really rewarding in the end. So that's my recommendation for The Witcher tabletop RPG from R. Talorzian Games. Really recommend you go check it out. And yeah, just look up Witcher RPG on Amazon. You'll find it real easy. Anyway, let's get talking about the main topic of today's show. And that is the Game Awards 2018, hosted by Jeff Keighley. For the last couple of years, this show has been exclusively digital. I remember when this was hosted by Spike TV. I was flown out back in 2009 or 2010, 2009. And
Spike TV, the awards where everybody kept claiming that it was bought.
Yeah. Although it was weird. I watched this with my wife Blair last night. And she was asking me, Mike, what was it like at the Game Awards? I'm like, I wouldn't know, because they stuck us in the back with catering. They stuck us in the back with all these tables, shitty chairs, and like cheesies. And they're like, okay, guys, go to work, write your stories, here's internet passwords, we'll see you later. And like, we can't sit in the audience? No. But we did get a chance to meet people. Like that's where I met Tony Hawk, Danny DeVito, Jeff Damolin from Deadliest Warrior, stuff like that. But anyway, back to the main topic here. So yeah, we're going to go through this list I pulled from IGN. We're going to start from the bottom of it, because some of these we don't know a whole hell of a lot about, but I can comment on them somewhat. So the first one was Content Creator of the Year. The nominees were Dr. Lupo, Myth, Ninja, Pokimane, and Willy Rex. You can guess who won this one.
The only person I've ever heard of.
Yeah, and that would be Ninja, the blue-haired Twitch streamer who screams at Fortnite, tries to get people banned, and...
You know what? Again, it's not for us. We're in our 30s, and...
You're
an old man, so...
Yeah, I'm not his target demo.
The target demo for this is preteens and early teens, right?
Yeah, so. Basically, anybody below 25, I would argue, is a Ninja's thing. And the thing is, Ninja's chat goes by so fast... I don't even know how much he interacts with his community unless you do like so-and-so donated $50. He's a shout out.
No, he's big enough. He's probably got two or three people combing through it.
He's got shit tons of mods.
So it's probably people like that. Like, and they pick and choose. He's at that point where it's almost too big to even have a chat.
Well, he has like, I think he makes something like $1 million a month or something ridiculous like that. It's nuts.
All the power to him.
Yeah, party on, dude.
He found his niche and it works.
I hope you're saving your money.
And congrats. And I will say this. He doesn't come across, at least in the award ceremony, as being pretentious or douchey or like a stereotype of what you figure a gamer would be. He came across as very professional.
Yeah, I mean, think of what you will about some of his controversies aside. Like, he won't stream with women and he won't... specifically, like he accused someone of stream sniping and tried to get his account banned and whatever. Moving on.
Yeah.
Moving on to Mike clearing his throat.
We are all surviving and getting over the crazy sicknesses.
Moving on to best esports moment was the C9 comeback win in triple overtime versus FaZe, G2 beating RNG, KT versus IG Base Race, OG's massive upset of LGD, Sonic Fox side switch against GO1 and DBZ. This was the Cloud9 comeback and Triple OT versus FaZe. I think this was Overwatch.
None of the words you said made any sense to me.
DBZ?
Oh, Dragon Ball Z. Yeah, I know Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, so, you know, one thing. Good for you.
Good for me. I'm winning.
Yeah. Now, I only know the only esports I follow is COD. And there were no COD World League moments on here that I'm aware of. Or at least there weren't any in the highlight reels.
Is it bad that, in my mind, esports is the championship of e-cigarettes or something? I think of people blowing, like, rings or something.
Which reminds me, they randomly had anti-vaping commercials.
You know, I don't have a problem with that. I think...
It was just weird.
Because too many kids are thinking that it's not smoking. But you're still getting the nicotine. You're still getting all that crap.
Yeah. Moving on, the best esports host... nobody that I recognize, because I follow COD World League and nobody here I know. So yeah. There was no Jack Septic, there was no Courage.
I tuned right out Maven. When this was happening.
I was like, okay. Best esports event, E-League Major Boston 2018. I'm guessing that was tied in the packs. Evo 2018.
Yeah, there was a bunch of different ones. Basically for all this, I will only start watching this stuff as soon as I hear JR from WWE is going to be doing commentary, because that would be hilarious.
There's a guy like that, actually.
He's broken in half!
He retired. His name was Jack Courage, and now he just streams, but he used to be on COD World League. His commentary was amazing. Well,
JR wouldn't understand what's going on. No, Mauro Ranallo, because he does follow gaming, just have him, oh, it's over, oh my god! Have him go crazy. Then I would watch.
So best esports event went to League of Legends. It was competing against League of Legends and Evo.
I love it.
Whatever.
It's competing against itself.
Best esports coach, a lot of people I don't recognize, so I'm just going to skip over that. Best esports team went to Cloud9. I'm surprised I didn't see Optic or FaZe in here, but I guess they didn't do a lot this year. This one I liked. Best esports player. And this was won by Dominique Sonic Fox McLean. McLean, whatever. Otherwise, he called himself a gay black furry, or everything a Republican hates. The tweet hurled round the world. His speech was delightfully awkward.
It was. I.
But you could tell he was genuine.
Yeah, no, you know, that part I like. I'm just not so big on the furry thing.
You know why I will give this kid respect? Because what he said when he won one of his championships, his opponent's dad was fighting cancer. He's like, fine, take part of my winnings. I'm helping your dad.
No, I'm fine with that. No, of course, that's all great. I don't know, furries creep me out a little bit. That's a personal thing.
Whatever makes you happy, dude, as long as you're not hurting anybody.
But here's my thing. I'm happy that he was able to go out there and just be himself.
Yes.
So I have no problem with that. But if I was sitting in a room and some furry guy rubbed up against me, I'd be like, yiffing.
Moving on. Best esports game was between CSGO, Dota, Fortnite, League of Legends, and Overwatch. Overwatch won this, and this surprises me. I'm surprised Fortnite didn't take this, because there was the Fortnite Invitational this year between Twitch and all these other streamers.
But I think this sort of goes by the most streamed, right?
I don't know how they judge this, because COD World League's numbers are still huge.
I'm wondering if it's nominated. More not so much how many viewers are watching, or if it's how many people are streaming themselves. Like,
maybe
there might be more people streaming Overwatch.
In that case, why didn't Fortnite win? Because Fortnite kicks the shit out of Overwatch.
I don't know. There's probably some political thing involved in there.
I could believe that. I'm not saying that one way or the other. But I'm surprised Fortnite didn't get it.
Because it would be between those two, yeah. Obviously.
Moving on to our next one. It was Best Debut Indie Game. And the winner of this was The Messenger.
Heard it was good.
I don't know word one about this.
No, me neither.
Which is unfortunate.
But it might be something for us to check out.
Yeah, because I don't play a lot of PC games. We always leave that to Tristan. Tristan's our PC guy. Best student game, where they had a bunch of people come out and say, hey, we made this game. And like it was kind of like a game jam, I think. And that was Combat 2018.
Cool.
And Jeff Keighley brought them out on stage, thanked them, gave them their trophy. They seemed genuinely really happy to win. So now we're getting into the categories you're going to actually give a shit about. Best multiplayer game. And this was not given out on stage. This was one of those. And the winner of this also won blank. So the best multiplayer game was between Call of Duty, Destiny 2 Forsaken,
Now, we should differentiate. This is not MMOs.
No, this is best multiplayer game.
Yes.
Fortnite, Monster Hunter World, and this was a surprise to me, Sea of Thieves. Who do you think won?
I honestly didn't pay attention to this one.
This was Fortnite, and this doesn't surprise me.
Because I kind of figured, like, a lot of these, the multiplayer ones, I'm like, it's going to be between one or two games, so I didn't bother actually fully paying attention.
Gotta say, Fortnite winning this isn't a surprise, although I'm surprised COD didn't...
Well, does Fortnite not count as an MMO?
No.
Because it's a massively online game.
Yeah, but it's pure Battle Royale.
But it's not
Is a there is a PvE element to it, but nobody plays that mode. It's all BR.
But, you know, in my mind, Battle Royale is MMO, because you've got, like, how many players playing at once in the same spot?
100 people.
In my mind, that's massive.
I guess if you want to split hairs on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that won that. No surprise there. Although I'm surprised COD didn't get it, because COD took a risk this year and introduced the blackout mode, which people are calling PUBG if it worked. And PUBG's not on here either, though. PUBG paid a lot for advertisements during the Game Awards. Which I think their winter map advertisement was probably the funniest one, where the bird pulled the hand grenade. Thought that was pretty amusing. moving on to our next category, which this one I feel bad because Ed Boon comes out. Ed Boon, the creator of Mortal Kombat, is like, "Hey guys, I'm here to give the best sports and racing game award." And we're like, "Why the fuck are you doing this?" And then the lights go down and it's an MK11 announced trailer. Way to steal the thunder, Ed. Obviously not his choice, but still, Mortal Kombat 11 looks fucking sick.
Comes out on my brother's birthday.
April 23rd, I want to say.
So, also, not shown there, but announced afterwards, it's coming to the Switch.
Really? That I missed.
Yes.
And the pre-order bonus is
I had
Shao
to double check, and it is coming to the Switch.
That's cool. The pre-order bonus is Shao Kahn. You can get beta access to it, which, if we've learned nothing from Fallout 76, don't. Make sure your game works. But the winner, the nominees for this category were FIFA 19, Forza Horizon 4, Mario Tennis Aces, which didn't that review terribly?
It was not a good game.
NBA 2K19 and Pro Evolution Soccer.
It's a no-brainer.
Forza.
There was
although, I'm honestly surprised FIFA didn't get it, because FIFA's games are usually pretty consistent.
You know, they never nominate NHL, yet NHL is consistently one of the most solid of the franchises.
But FIFA always sells more
Europeans. But I mean, it's never even nominated. Like, it's rarely, kind of surprising. Yeah. Like, you know, it's about as solid as Madden, but it's never nominated.
Mm-hmm. Best strategy game. This one was yet another one that just kind of flew by super quick. Though one of the nominees makes me so happy. So this was between Valkyria Chronicles 4, which you reviewed on the show.
Very good game.
The Banner Saga 3, which I think you reviewed on the show.
It's also a very good game.
Into the Breach, which I think one of our friends plays it.
I have not played it. My brother's played it, says it's fantastic.
Frostpunk, which I've never heard of.
Frostpunk, interesting title.
And my personal pick, I would have loved for this to win, because this would have made Harebrained Schemes so happy. I think that's the name of the studio? No. Paradox Interactive. Sorry. Paradox. Battletech. I wanted this to win, because I'm a Battletech fanboy, but it went to Into the Breach.
So, you know why that's... Well, Into the Breach is apparently really good, but the Battletech one probably would have won if that expansion had come out earlier. The one that just launched.
Yeah, Flashpoint.
Apparently it fixes so many things.
It basically adds a hard mode, because you can start with your mercenaries.
But like any nitpicks that people had were addressed with it in a patch.
Yeah, and it basically fixes most things, although it does cost you like $20, I think.
So it's basically, if this had come out a month or two earlier, it would have been a better contender.
I think so. You're definitely right on that. Moving on to our next category, this was Best Family Game. Once again, Mario Tennis Aces. This surprised the shit out of me. Nintendo Labo. Overcooked 2. Starlink Battle for Atlas. Good to see some love for that title.
Starlink would have been my pick for it.
And Super Mario Party.
Starlink would have been my pick for it.
Overcooked 2. I've heard a lot about this game, but don't
Overcooked
know a word
2, it's
about
cheap.
It.
It's you're basically...
Is it like New Cooking Mama?
Yeah. But you basically work in three or four players. One person has to cook one thing. You pass it to the next person, who passes it to the next person. And you get jumbled and crazy and...
So it's like, here, work a kitchen.
Yes, that's what it is.
Okay. Well, that's neat. That sounds kind of fun. Best fighting game was, once again, handed off stage. But no surprises here.
No.
It was between Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle, Dragon Ball FighterZ, Soul Calibur 6, and Street Fighter 5 Arcade Edition. No surprise, Dragon Ball.
The hands down, best fighting game of the last few years.
Yeah, like, Street Fighter has always had a solid foundation, but it's rough launch over the past couple of years, and...
Well, it was Arc System Works that made it for them.
Yeah, it's super and accessible, it plays well across every console.
You know, they make the Blaze Blue games, it's like, what if they were given a bigger budget? That's what this was.
Yeah, like, here's a budget, here's a license.
Here's a license, and here's probably two or three times the budget you get for your own games. And they're like, sure. And they made a fantastic title that works on every system.
The next category, this one, I don't know a lot about, because none of us have VR.
We can skip it.
Yeah.
Let's see who the winner was.
Astrobot Rescue Mission. I thought it said Astro Boy.
That would have been cool. None of us have VR, so...
Best mobile game. This one kind of surprises me.
Do you care?
Kind of, because I'm surprised Fortnite didn't get this. But it's a game called Florence.
Okay.
Don't know what it is, unfortunately.
Let's check it out.
Games for Impact. This one was one of the most awkward presentations of the night, simply because like 30 people came up on stage with a Hello Kitty camera, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And this was Celeste.
Yeah, cool game. I
don't know a lot about it, though.
I saw a lot of trailers. I didn't know. Apparently it's about mental illness, but I didn't know. So we haven't tried it. It might be something to look into.
Yeah, so this is something I'm pretty sure it's available on everything.
It is. It's Switch is the primary.
Okay. This category was very difficult. Best performance. And this came down to, I'm going to give some of the names as I know how to pronounce them. Brian Deschard is Connor from Detroit Become Human. Very good choice.
Very good job, too.
Yeah. Christopher Judge is Kratos, so Teal'c.
Jafar Kree.
Melis, I can't pronounce her name, but Cassandra from Assassin's Creed Odyssey, because the guy who played Alexios is terrible. Roger Clark as Arthur Morgan from Red Dead 2, and Yuri Lowenthal as Peter Parker from Spider-Man.
All good choices.
Oh, this was a hard category.
Well, and they didn't I like that they didn't do a separate thing of best male performer, best female performer. It's just best performer.
Yeah. And I think, ultimately, Roger Clark as Arthur Morgan, because Rockstar Games are so ridiculously huge, I'm not surprised he won. Although Yuri Lowenthal is easily one of the best Spider-Men of all time.
But as far as performance goes, the dude that did Connor had the hardest job. Because he had to do how many hundreds of iterations for how you played through that game?
Yeah.
So it would basically be, even though the game is much shorter, he probably had to record just as much as the Red Dead guy.
Mm-hmm.
So between it was really going to be between those two.
So yeah, I mean, I thought it was cool that even Christopher Judge got nominated.
Boy,
because yeah, that was half his performance. He's yelling boy.
Indeed.
The next one was best independent game. The winner of that was between The Messenger, Return to Obra Dinn, Into the Breach, Dead Cells. But the winner was Celeste. Again, as an indie game, that's pretty cool. Best audio design between Call of Duty Black Ops 4. That's debatable, because audio and Blackout still doesn't work right. Forza Horizon 4, God of War, Spider-Man, and Red Dead Redemption 2. You can guess who won that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Red Dead, it deserved it. It really did. Although Spider-Man does have some neat mechanics where Yuri had to do two different takes. Like, if he's swinging along and you happen to be in a cutscene, he's out of breath. If he stops, he'll catch his breath and keep talking.
Yeah.
So that's kind of neat. Best score / music was between Celeste, God of War, Spider-Man, Ni No Kuni, Octopath Traveler, and Red Dead. Hard category. Because despite not knowing a lot about Celeste, I have heard the music.
And Ni No Kuni 2 isn't as good as Ni No Kuni 1, but the music, the score was fantastic.
I don't know why Spider-Man's here. And that's unfortunate to say, because I like Spider-Man, but the music for me was so forgettable.
I think it was because it does the same thing that Ni No Kuni did.
Where it swells the music.
Depending on how fast you move and the actions you take. In Ni No Kuni, if you walk, the music is slower. And as you run, it slowly builds to a crescendo.
Yeah, like when you're going through the city, the music will expand the audio.
So that, I think it's more for the music audio design than anything.
Red Dead 1, though God of War would have been a very second. Yeah. Would have been a very second choice for me. Best art direction. I kind of wanted Assassin's Creed to win this one, but it was between Assassin's Creed, God of War, Octopath Traveler, Red Dead, and Return of the Obra Dinn.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of competition out there right now. I was kind of surprised by some of the stuff that was going on at the award show, and then not kind of surprised. I just sort of thought that Red Dead would just sweep absolutely everything.
And it mostly did. It won three out of four of the awards it was nominated for.
I thought it was going to be nominated for everything.
Yeah.
Best indie title, best this.
But yeah, I'm honestly not surprised that Obra Dinn won, because I saw what they showed off. It looked really cool.
Yeah.
Thinking, all right, that's different. Now, this was a category that I really liked. Best ongoing game. They described it as a game that's been around for a while, but has constantly been improving itself. And that was between Destiny 2 Forsaken, Fortnite, No Man's Sky, Overwatch, and Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege.
And I guess this doesn't count MMOs, otherwise WoW would be winning everything.
Oh, absolutely not. I completely disagree.
Because every year there's a new edition, right?
Yeah, but I'm honestly surprised Destiny didn't actually take this, because Destiny 2 had a very rough launch.
Yeah.
But then it added Forsaken, and now there's the Black Armory, and now true. The raids are coming in, and it's gotten better. However,
are the players said, playing it, though? That's the thing.
Well, I'm still getting emails about it, so that says something. But No Man's Sky is a completely unrecognizable game.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Like, I've seen a lot of the new trailers for it, a lot of the new content updates. I'm honestly blown away by it. But the fact that Fortnite got it, because Fortnite does have the Battle Pass, does add new things literally, like, weekly. So, can't say I'm surprised. Best game direction. There it was between A Way Out, which was, I think, that prison escape game.
Yeah, where you had to play co-op.
Yeah. Detroit Become Human, God of War, Spider-Man, and Red Dead. And God of War got this. Not a bad choice, actually. I can't say that I'm upset with that. This is where we're going to have a conversation.
Okay.
Best role-playing game.
Oh, boy.
The nominees were Pillars of Eternity 2, Deadfire, Octopath Traveler, Ni No Kuni 2, Monster Hunter World, and Dragon Quest.
Not an RPG.
11.
Not an RPG.
If you disagree with Alex...
It's not an RPG. It just isn't. And I'm not talking it has to be a JRPG. That's not an RPG. Just attacking monsters is not an RPG. It has to have a story. It has to have gameplay that goes and has... you're role-playing as a character through their lives, and this is not that.
Now, you're asking for a narrative.
That's what an RPG has. Otherwise, it's a dungeon crawler, or it's a monster beat-em-up. There's other categories. It didn't belong in this category.
I think you're splitting hairs, because by that definition, Diablo is not. It's a loot game.
But it is an RPG because there is a story.
Same with Monster Hunter. It's not. It's as shallow as a puddle.
That's like saying that Shadow of the Colossus is an RPG.
Some people may argue you on that.
Those people I call stupid.
I don't know. I can honestly see why it won, because the mechanics in it are very RPG-like.
It won because I think Capcom paid for it. I honestly do. There were other Capcom things in the show that seemed sort of out of place, like they were really pushing Capcom.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they were... I feel like it was probably close, because this sold really well, is between this and Dragon Quest. And Dragon Quest should have won based on its merits, but based on sales, this won.
Yeah. Next category is Best Action Adventure, which was delivered, again, off stage. Assassin's Creed Odyssey, God of War, Spider-Man, Red Dead, and Tomb Raider. Who do you think won?
Red Dead?
No, God of War. This is a category I thought Spider-Man stood a chance in. Because as an action-adventure game, it wanted you to finish it.
Very true.
And the thing is, that was a platinum everybody could have gotten. And most people did. Until the DLC. Fuck the DLC. I'm still playing through it. Best action game, once again, delivered off, I think this was delivered off stage as well. That was between COD, Dead Cells, Destiny 2, Far Cry 5, and Mega Man 11. Went to Dead Cells.
I could see it being a toss-up between that and Mega Man.
Honestly, I would, if I had to put money on this, I would have given it to Far Cry. Because Far Cry did enough things different this year that it was really fun.
Shooters.
True, but it's asking for what is how do you define an action game, so to speak?
I always think an action game is more of a traditional game. Like, shooters are a defined genre.
Yeah.
So I feel like they lumped shooters in with it.
Yeah, like, because why is COD competing against Mega Man, which is
They're
so weird?
They're very different. They don't really deserve to be in the same category, whereas Dead Cells does.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see why it won.
Yeah. Game of the Year. So this is the final one, and then we'll talk about the award show itself.
Yeah.
And this was up against Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Celeste, God of War, Spider-Man, Monster Hunter World, and Red Dead. And surprisingly, I thought this was the upset of the night, was God of War won this.
I was quite surprised. I thought this was basically a shoe-in. I thought they were going to be sucking the dick of everybody at Red Dead.
Yeah, I thought this was going to be a Rockstar-dominated
but
night.
This is an exclusive title, but I can see why. They don't want to cave into the hype of a game that's only been out for a month. You know what?
It's been out since October 26.
The other thing is, did you hear about any glitches or any bugs in God of War?
Not many.
No, it's pretty much a complete game that shipped without any major bugs. There have been people that have had issues with Red Dead because of its scope and size. With remember the characters disappearing from your party
or flaming horses.
Yeah,
or
certain things like that. So
work right.
I think as a whole, it's probably a tighter experience.
For me, I really wanted Spider-Man to win.
Yeah.
I can see why it didn't, and I can also see why Assassin's Creed didn't win either. Because it's a little grindy.
There were a lot of really good games this year, though.
Yeah, this year was a surprisingly good year in gaming. I remember starting the year off when we started doing the prototype on the semi-regular again, saying, I'm not looking forward to a lot this year. And then I actually got a lot that I actually kind of gave a shit about. Like Far Cry 5, I had a lot of fun with. I had a lot of fun with Assassin's Creed. Spider-Man was surprisingly good. Well,
and it looks like there was a lot of premieres here. So, like, what's coming up in the next few months or even into the next year, I almost felt like there were, for the size of the show that this was, more exclusive announcements that I was excited about than E3.
Yeah, like, I remember one of the big ones, and this got leaked a little bit before the show, but we never saw anything, was Mortal Kombat 11.
Yeah.
With Scorpion kicking the shit out of Raiden, which was admittedly pretty awesome. Weird music, again, but it works. I kind of dug it. They showed off that weird pirate game called Atlas, which looks like it's Sea of Thieves.
The Ark Evolved or whatever team that made that.
That looked pretty cool.
A little frame rate dippy, but it looks cool because it's early access alpha, I think, right now.
The one game that looks interesting, but I will probably never play it, it's a game called Hades.
Yeah,
and this is something that I noticed during most of the big announcements tonight. And you can find this on the Epic Games launcher because they're trying to get that to compete against Steam.
And well, they're offering developers a lot better
revenue
return.
Sharing.
Yeah, like 20% more.
I think 30 even.
Up to.
Yeah.
If you're an indie person, they were taking away some of the your profits on Steam. They're actually reducing what they give you unless you're preferred like a preferred developer.
Yeah.
So this is going to be more beneficial. Also, their launcher works on any mobile platform.
That's pretty cool.
So they're going to be able to have cross-buy play between mobile and not. So for whatever games are official, which is cool. I probably won't do that on mobile, but I like that it's there.
Yeah, because the only game they've really got for mobile is Fortnite.
They're going to be doing a lot of their own games converted over, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this all pans out.
They might force Steam to make Half-Life 3.
Well, that was a big joke that I saw, too. Like, hey, Steam, you better start getting worried now, man.
Well, there's that. I'm starting to think other announcements. We talked about that colorful game at the beginning.
Yeah.
But there were some big out-of-left-field exclusives.
The Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
For Switch exclusive, to the point where they bought the franchise. They own that game.
Yeah, and that, one of the things I was saying to Alex off-air, is a lot of those character models look like they were ripped out of Marvel vs. Capcom.
Do you know who's developing
Infinite.
It?
Who?
Team Ninja.
That'll be a damn good game, then.
So it's Team Ninja making a Marvel game for Switch exclusive.
Although, you know what surprised me? You know what surprised
what?
Me? There was supposed to be a Square Enix Avengers game. We haven't heard dick about it yet. We had the
who knows?
Russo
they're,
brothers.
They're having there. Some. They're having some trouble with that company right now. But other announcements, I'm trying to think of ones that really rock. Oh, they did confirm Dragon Age 4,
yep.
Which they had to because
the Dread Wolf or something.
Well, the Dread Wolf Rises. It's going to be based in probably the next continent that they were teasing in the last game, which is cool. Nothing to show yet, but they're trying to get some good faith back. I liked the Anthem trailer they showed. I'm hooked. I know you're not.
And you know what? That's the thing. I don't get it. It looks like BioWare's Destiny.
I'll try it out, and if I like it, if I get at least 40 hours out of it, I'll be happy.
I don't know. If I get at least... I better be hooked in the first five.
Trying to think. Oh, the Persona 5 character in Smash.
Yes,
in
Joker.
Smash.
That was a surprise.
Yeah. There's that. What else was a big deal?
Okay, when Reggie, Phil, and not Jack Tretton came out on stage, did you not expect a huge crossplay announcement?
I thought everybody there just got blue balls where they're ready to shoot all over the social media.
I was expecting crossplay, and then they just walk off stage.
Yeah.
Nothing.
But no, they didn't even look like they were joking. Like, it was just like they were told to talk about this, and
yeah.
I don't know. It was okay.
You know what's funny, though? The guy, the Xbox guy, Phil, always sounds like he's presenting at E3.
He's always like, I'm also really high, dude. What's up, bro?
He's like, hey, guys, I'm here to talk to you about some exciting Xbox projects.
He looks like the white dude from Half-Baked.
I can't remember the guy's name, but I know exactly who you mean.
Yeah, man. And Reggie's... Totally, Reggie. Man.
Oh, my God. You know what?
Reggie's there rocking the dad bod.
You know what would have been great?
What?
If they brought out the Reggie puppet and had Pepe together.
Pepe was great. Like, there's that, but I'm trying to... Other exclusive... Oh, the announcements. The Obsidian, the game, I believe it's the other...
The Outer Planes or the Outer Planets?
Outer Planets. That is basically what Fallout 76 should have been mixed with Borderlands.
Yeah, which is okay.
And it looks fun. Cool. It looks great. And also, I was worried it was going to be Xbox exclusive, but it's probably been in development for at least a year.
Yeah.
So it right at the end, it said coming to both...
2019. It'll be late 2019.
In PS4 and that. The other thing that looked...
Scavengers looked interesting.
Yes. Crash Team Racing.
Yep.
Also, didn't say it in there, but they did announce that I got a press release. It is coming to the Switch.
What, Crash Team Racer?
Yes.
I'm not surprised.
Well, it was announced to be look like an exclusive there on the PS4. But it's coming to the Switch as well. I don't know if it's coming to Xbox. Probably. If they're going to put it on the Switch, then that means that it can scale to whatever engine they need. That looks cool. There were some other titles that were announced, some other RPGs and that. A lot of dungeon crawly, roguelike stuff that I'm not into, where you keep dying and repeating it over and over again.
I can't remember. I think that was called In the Name Of...
Yeah.
Or something like that.
There's a few of them like that.
It looked like Super Meat Boy with an RPG shooter.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that, but there were some other titles that were sort of teased, but the big announcements were obviously all Nintendo-based. Because Crash had sort of been leaked early.
Yeah.
Crash,
Mortal Kombat, even Dragon Age was leaked.
But the big ones were the Marvel game, the Persona character, the fact that they announced the character the day it's being released.
The fact that nobody knew about it.
No, nobody. And that, well, and also the Marvel one, the big deal there, my takeaway is that took three companies. Team Ninja could have leaked something.
Yep.
Nintendo could have accidentally leaked something. Marvel Disney could have leaked something. Nobody found out about
it. And the fact that you know what I'm surprised at? I'm surprised the Russos didn't come out. Oh, we have something to show you.
Yeah, there wasn't
and
anything.
And then they could have trolled us. Instead of the Avengers 4 trailer, it was the Marvel trailer. Like, it's Thanos anyway.
I thought one of the Russos was going to come out, and then he was going to hold his brother in a urn and be like, we wish we both could be here today, but...
Yeah, sorry.
I also thought they might have premiered the movie trailer there instead of this morning.
That would have been cool. That would have been great for them to do.
But there
but
was a
Jeff strange... Jeff Keighley doesn't have that type of pull.
And there was a Stranger Things trailer. It looked kind of cool. There were some other indie-looking ones. Big thing I take away from this also was most of the games shown, or games won, or even trailers shown... Where it was like 75% Canadian studios.
And
Jeff
Keighley
kept mentioning that because it obviously represent, but it was kind of surprising where most of these games coming out are from Canadian studios.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of cool. There was, of course, American ones represented in the UK a little bit, but for the most part, it's Montreal and BC.
One other thing I want to mention is the Abled Gamers thing they did. There was the guy, I don't know what condition he has, but he's in... the wheelchair, and he streams on Twitch and he's playing all the games and he's really good at Rocket League, I think.
Yeah, the commercials were really good, the sponsorship things. There was also the one where it was the African refugee that his mom saved money for 3 years, bought him a computer,
and taught him how to program.
And he taught himself how to program, and then he made a game about stopping bombs from dropping on your city, and is then spreading that around all the refugees on their mobile phones because they can work on pretty much anything. And that's how he's bringing the community together. And then profits and proceeds that are made go towards helping other refugees.
That's pretty neat.
So that was a really inspiring story.
Yeah, I'm really glad that they worked with Able Gamers. I've met Able Gamers at PAX a few times. And they're some incredibly good dudes.
So yeah, I mean, I would say overall, pretty good show. Some cool trailers. I imagine more will get trickled out later.
Yeah, we'll probably see more game announcements before the end of the year.
Yeah.
I'm actually really surprised... because we didn't mention Capcom a lot outside of Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
They premiered the exclusive trailer.
And they played some music I laughed at the...
I thought it sounded cool.
The guy that was the rapper looked like a rat-faced fake rapper from the 90s. It should have been like with Poochie.
Oh,
and then the woman who was singing was great. The rest of the band was great. The drummer had the smallest drum set in history. It was like a kid's set. Like, I mean, actually physically tiny. He looked like a giant.
I thought the medleys they played, because they had Hans Zimmer and had Harry Gregson Williams composing, which I thought was really neat.
Yeah, the Red Dead music was good, too.
I liked the Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And then when they played the Smash theme, I thought that was really cool. Which, it's kind of... I like the Smash commercials throughout the night. Coming in a few hours!
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, overall, this was a very competent award show. I was very pleased with a lot of it. It was never really boring. There were some lulls.
And no digital, hiccups or dropouts on the streams.
Yeah, like this... Jeff Keighley should be incredibly proud of this. I can't wait to see what happens next
year. There's still some growing pains with people walking off camera in front of him while he's trying to announce because of how they staged the
yeah, a lot of the stage direction could use a little bit of work.
Yeah, but that's just growing pains you have when you only put on one show a year, and you know what I mean? Like this,
and it's not your crew.
It's all new, and he handled it quite well. He was able to recover when he had issues, and everybody seemed to be having a great time there.
Yeah, I guess that's really pretty much about it. So hopefully you've enjoyed our little discussion on the Game Awards 2018. Definitely want to hear your thoughts. Feedback at thisweekingeek.net or contact us on Twitter at...
Turner Treasure.
Or you can find us at thisweekingeek or myself is at Birdman Dodd. So until next time, we have been...
Alex.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying live for your Die Hard. We'll catch you again next time in January on The Prototype.
Welcome to Four Scores, a new podcast series hosted by Variety's John Burlingame. Four Scores will take listeners on a magical journey into the world of film and television composers, including Alan Silvestri, composer of The Avengers Endgame, Henry Jackman, composer of Wreck-It Ralph, and Pinar Toprak, composer of Captain Marvel. Composers will reveal to fans the challenges, rewards, and emotions that went into crafting these incredible scores. Listen wherever you hear your favorite podcasts.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle. It took 15 minutes to take a spirit animal quiz online.
Please be the cheetah. Please be the cheetah.
And learn your animal isn't the cheetah, but the far less appealing blobfish.
Oh, come on.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 blobfish minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.